really authenticate what we talk about when we really talk about the Bible in relationship to all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So I hope and pray that each of you are seriously thinking about getting your folder. Now, what we're going to do, if it's all right, so the Tignan don't notice it, but we're going to use her book to cop off of, to utilize as a roadmap to go by. But this Sunday, but let me say this. You see, unity, believing, being of same mind, same judgment, is one of the powerful instruments that we have as a Christian, even in everyday life. When they talked about a husband and wife twain together and help me and don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See, through the power of unity, man, you can do great things, man, when you're unified, when you're one, you know, and in spite of what you do, man, once you are unified, even the Tower of Babel, you know when they were building that Tower of Babel? He said, because they were one. I know this don't have anything to do with the Bible, but I've been listening to that commentary since Monday night. They said because Alabama just believed that all of them was one, they was on the same page. That's one reason why they did what they did, you know, because of this oneness. And that's the same thing that we can do with the Word of God. We all get on the same wavelength, all think alike, using the Bible. Not what I say, but using the Bible. And that's one reason why I want to emphasize those books that we're talking about, that we're going to come together and put it together, that when we want to go back to the months, or go back to the law, or go back to this charter, it's already in your book. You ain't got to go try looking for it. We'll say turn to page 4, page 5. I have them. I have slides. I have everything that we can correlate with. So this Sunday, if it be the Lord's will, 9 a.m., we're going to be here. Is that all right with you, sister? We'll be here. Bring your books. I gave some of you handouts, the sleeves to go in them. Sam's have them at a very inexpensive price if you want to get them for $200, I think, like $10, something like that, Sam's Wholesale. And if you don't have them, they got them over there. But we're going to get together, and we're going to start putting our books together. We might not be able to do it all in one day. We have to do it several times. But once we get them together, when I give them to you, you know it goes in the next slot, okay? So that we can put it together. Now, you don't have to. It's not mandatory. We're not saying, hey, you got to have it. I want you to make that plain, okay? But I'm telling you, if you want to grow, if you want to mature, you got to have tools to work with. Am I right? You got to have a plan. You got to have tools. You got to believe. And you got to know. Because, see, this right here is so powerful right here. I was looking at it today. It's just so powerful that if you understand how this works, and go back even when we go and see what I'm going to do too, I'm putting together some transparencies too. And what we're going to start doing, we start talking about Ephesus or Damascus or Thessalonica. We begin to look. We're going to put some maps up so we can begin to show you where they are and trace it to see. But we're going to put all this together to grow by as we study the Bible together, amen, in order that we may grow thereby. Okay? So 9 o'clock Sunday morning, just be here. Bring your book. Bring your sleeves. And we're going to try to put them together, okay? Now, we won't get the whole book done. But we may have to do it 2 or 3 times, okay? But we're going to get it done, okay? All right. So let's go ahead and begin our study for tonight. And we in John chapter 12. That's where we are. John 12. Okay. And then I want to make 2 or 3 points here. John 12, 7, 8. That I think that's going to be so important in relationship to what Jesus said here in verse 7 and 8 here, 3 and 8, okay? I'm going to read verse 7 and 8, chapter 12, okay? Let her alone. I want you to underline that phrase, let her alone. See, let her alone. See, why do you trouble her? She has done good work upon me. See, let her alone. Let her alone. Against the day of my burial has she kept this. Underline, she have kept this. See, the devil don't want us to keep this. The devil don't want us to keep this, or what the devil want us to do is leave things alone. Don't be steadfast. Don't understand what is the will of the Lord. And see, that's what we're striving to do. Everyone, Jesus said, let her alone. See, because she has kept this here in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. The second point that I want you to see, Jesus here is trying to teach us that the poor gonna be with us always. But the way we measure prosperity is wrong. We look at people who don't have money as being poor. Or we look at people with a lot of wealth being rich. Now let me flip the switch. Would you rather be rich in the flesh and lost, or will you be poor in relationship to the act of humility? That is, that you are humbled, like humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up, that you're going to submit to God, resist the devil, draw, humble yourself. See, that's the poor in spirit. See, she did what she did, not based on value. See, we do things based on value. See, we got to have the right automobile, the right car, the right clothes, and we think that is rich. Or we think that is doing good, but we lack it. See, that's the reason why Jesus says, leave her alone. She did what was right because her spirit was right. See, they looked at, well, look what she done. This $300 she threw away. We could have sold that and distributed the money to the poor. But see, that's the way you don't, see, that's what Jesus said. The poor going to be with us always. See, ain't nothing you're going to do about that. But I think the lesson that we can learn is that we need to flip the switch and understand what's the difference between spirituality and carnality. A love not the world, neither thing than the world. Or the love of money is the root of all evil. Our mindset. You know, some of us just so gung-ho. You know, we'll miss Bible class, we'll do this, we'll do this here, we'll do this here, trying to grab all the gusto. And really what we need to be doing is transforming our thinking. That we may be poor in spirit. That we may be, as we talked about in Philippians 4, abased. Remember talking about the word abased, so we can abound. See that we can what? Decrease, so we can what? Be lifted up, so we can be humble, so he can lift us up, so we can submit. So that we can resist, so that we can draw. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to get us to see. See, y'all seeing it wrong. See, the value didn't have anything. She did what was right. She did everything that she could do. See, and that's what Christianity is supposed to be. Matthew 5:14. Let your light so shine. See, because see, God can't use a haughty person. He can't use a person with a greed spirit, or a spirit that's always out there trying to grab all the gusto, because if she would have had the attitude, she wouldn't have never done it. If she had the attitude of value, as we look at value, she never would have done it. It's like, think about this here. Some homes may have 3 or 4 TVs, right? Okay. So you know somebody who don't have one. I mean, what your spirit would be, say, well, since I got 3, I'm going to give one to somebody who's in need. Or we're just so set up on ourselves to say, well, these are mine. He need to get his own. I was having lunch with someone not too long ago, maybe a week or so ago, at Church's Chicken. And I was waiting on the chicken to be brought so I could take it to the table, me and a guy. And he's the one even a member of the church. But the guy who's sitting at the table across, he started conversationalizing with him. And the man said, I just got out of prison. And he said, I didn't have a $1 in tax to buy me one piece of chicken. And the guy said, with me, he said, Al, do me a favor. I said, what? Give him my chicken. I didn't know what was going on. He said, give him my chicken. I said, why? Because he don't have none. He said, he just got out of prison. He ain't have about a dollar. That's the least that I can do. He just told me he was hungry. at the thing. I said, I thought you were hungry. Why are you going to give your chicken away? Did you just say, come on, man, let's go to church and chicken. I'm hungry. The chicken was hot. The grease, you know, church of chicken got grease coming off of it. The box was getting wet. I'm serious. He wasn't even a member of the church. So he got up. I'm serious. He got up to take the box over to him. And the man looked at him. He says, I appreciate it. But I'm all right. And I said back and I said, would I have done that? I'm serious. It literally made me think. It literally made me think. I say it again. Seriously. Seriously. It was a stranger. He didn't even know him. But see, you see the point? See, the spirit, even though they got zeal but not according to knowledge, but still they do something right. But the whole point I'm saying, I learned the lesson. You see, I learned the lesson, and I think this is a lesson that we have to learn because we hold on or we grab too much and we just got too much, and that's what's wrong with the world. That's why we're so greedy because, see, we just hold on to it so tight, you know, can't nobody get it. You see what I mean? And this is the lesson that Jesus was trying to get us to see. Hey, the poor going to be with us always. See, but how do you define the word poor? Somebody just begging on the street, somebody, you know, under the viaduct. I mean, how do you see poor? I mean, how do you see? Is broke being poor? I mean, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, amen? My God shall supply all our needs according to his riches, amen? All things work out together for good for those who what? Who love the Lord, amen? See, but it's how we, that's how we value and how we see. See, we got to abase. We got to decrease. We got to get the world out, amen, in order to let Christ in. And I think that's the spirit that she had. She didn't care. It's all she had. She didn't have nothing else. But all she had, what she did, she gave it to him in relationship to understand. And go to Matthew 26. This was so important to Jesus. And you need to write that by verse 7, Matthew 26:13. See, look what Jesus says here in relationship to the gratitude that he had for her in relationship to what she did. In Matthew 26 and verse 13, see, beginning verse 10, Matthew's account of it. See, Matthew 26:10, it says, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you this woman? See, they didn't even understand. See, it was not only Judas, but they didn't. See, they didn't understand. For she had wrought with good upon me. She did what was right in spite of what other people are going to do. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Look at verse 13. He said, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman has done be told for a memorial for her. See what she did. See, you never know who's watching you. You never know. You say you're a Christian. You say let your light shine. You say you're the salt of the earth. Well, let your Christian light be what? Shown. It said, this shall be a memorial. That's what the gospel is all about. It's what Jesus died for because he loved us. Amen. And she did it why? Because she loved Jesus. See, that's the reason why he said, regardless of where the gospel is going to be preached, let this be an example. Let this be a memorial to her in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Kind of like, you remember old Abel in the book of Hebrews, they said, though yet he were dead, he still speaketh. See, based on what he did, based on his action, based on his faith, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, but based on what he did, based on what she did, he said, let this be a memorial. You remember this here. See, let this be something that's going to transform you. See, let this be a learning lesson. Romans 15, 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, written for our what? Learning. See, and I think that if more people understood that, that wouldn't be a problem with benevolence in the world today. Well, guess what? Benevolence starts with me and you. Am I right? See, giving starts with me and you. You think 1 Timothy 5:8, if a man don't take his own, he denies the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. See, James 1:27, take care of orphans, take care of widows, keep oneself unspotted from the world. See, that's a responsibility. James 1:27 is a responsibility that we all must have, amen? See, that's what pure and undefiled religion is. See, that we take care of orphans, that we take care of widows, and keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Galatians 6:10, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. If we understood what Jesus was trying to say, you wouldn't need the Red Cross. You wouldn't need all these institutions to do good. Because if we had the attitude of Mary for what she did for Jesus, see, people wouldn't do it now. Especially for us in the body of Christ. Amen. See, we're supposed to take care of our own. See, I told a brother in the meeting, I said, benevolence is threefold. Number one, see, before we even come to the church, number one, it's the family responsibility to take care of the needy, your needy. Right? See, now if the family fail, or the family can't do nothing, the next thing, you come to individual brothers, amen. See, I come to John, I say, John, hey, brother, I'm just having a difficult time. I'm like, brother, I just ain't got no gas money. But I need $20. I don't know when I'm going to be able to give it back to you. Well, because he's my brother, because he loved me. Like, that's the right thing. We should have the relationship between brother to brother, amen. Am I right? He should give it, and then he shouldn't let the left hand know what his right hand does, right? That's between me and him, amen. You ain't got to tell nobody else, because when you tell somebody else, you're not only sinning against me, but you're sinning against God. Then, see, if that's not the case, then bring it to the church. But the church should be the last somebody if we understood what Jesus is trying to get us to see. Learn what she did. Why did she do it? It didn't have no monetary value. Amen. But see, she couldn't have done that if she didn't have that abased attitude. See, none of us can't give until, number one, we got that humble spirit. See, because number one, if we're not humble, God's not going to lift us up. If he's not going to lift you up, you're not going to submit, you're not going to resist, and you ain't going to draw. See, you can't do those things. Ain't no way in the world you're going to submit to God with a Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit going to block submissiveness. That's the same thing in a relationship. See, when you leave father, leave mother, and you're twain together, and you be one, that's submissiveness. Amen? See, you can't be submissive one to another with a haughty spirit. Because number one, the devil not going to want you to do it, and you're not what? See, if you're not able to resist him, you're not going to draw. And if you don't submit, you might want to write the word now. James 4, see, 7. See, you got to submit. You got to resist. You got to draw to 10, to humble, to be lifted. You think Mary had that kind of spirit? You think Paul had that kind of spirit in Philippians 4? Sure he did. He said, I'll base thou may abound. So you got to go down or what? Am I right? See, some of those boys who started with Alabama 4 years ago did not have the pleasure to receive 3 nationalship rings because their spirit was not a humble spirit. They had to submit into the process in order to get into the system to reach success. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? It had to happen. That's just life. That's reciprocity, folks. That's a sowing process. I'm telling you, folks. That's a sowing process. Heard a man say, listen to this here. This ain't Bible, but listen to what I'm saying. See, pain go 2 ways. Y'all with me? Pain can be disciplined, can be focused, can be submission, can be resisting, can be drawn to humble, to equal spirituality. Amen? Our pain, because disappointment comes in your life, you're going to have failure. How do I know that? Galatians 6. The way you sow. If you sow toward the Spirit, how you sow toward the Spirit? Submitting, resisting, drawing, humbling, abasing to overflow. Am I right? See, if you sow toward the Spirit, you're going to reap what? Everlasting life. Same thing, John 10:10, abundant life. Am I right? It's just a process, man. It works. And on the other hand, you sow toward the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. See, let me ask you a question. Then we're going. Do you ever sit down sometime in a quiet time, quiet moment, no TV on, just think? That's where I was, John, tonight. I was down there all by myself. And literally, I thought nobody went in the basement but me. Before you came, I was talking to myself. And I do it all the time. I talk to myself. By the way, answer. But I do. My mind was just thinking about the class and about what I was going to say. I was in a little prayerful mood. I really was getting preparation to do this class. All of a sudden, he walks around the corner. John's not going to tell you what I did. I jumped on top of the copy machine. No, he scared me. He did. Now, I'm glad I've grown a little bit. Cause nothing didn't come out, did it, John? But see, you got to understand that, bro. But do you ever do that sometimes? Just think about life. See, think about you know, things that happen in your life, whether maybe your children, or it may be situations, some hard times you had, difficult times you had, and just ask the question, why? Well, guess what? Can't nobody answer that but you, if you're truthful. If you go back and tell the truth, can't nobody answer it but you. Because nobody know what you did but you. See, we're the captain of our own soul. That's that mindset, am I right? But see, the whole point is, see, you do that so you can learn from what you did so that you don't do it again. Right? See, you learn. See, especially when you understand Scripture. See, then you begin to put Scripture with it. And then, see, that Scripture, see, going to give you a better understanding. Because, see, you say, if I had these 10 years ago, this wouldn't have happened. Y'all with me? See, that would make things better. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. So the whole point, Jesus said that Mary had done what she could do. And that's all God expects of us, that we do what we can do. See, don't be unwise, but be wise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, don't be unwise. Don't be foolish. See, when you learn better, James 4:17, to him who knoweth to do better and do it not, to him it's a sin. See, when you learn better, you do better. Amen. Always have that spirit, as Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. As Peter said, newborn babe desire. The sense of make up the word that you may grow thereby. See, always have that spirit that when you come here, that's what worship is all about, that you can worship him in spirit and in truth. Learn from what we say. See, go back home and evaluate. See, sometimes it's good just to walk all the way through your house and say everything is intangible. Everything in here is perishable. Everything here, I came in with it, I'm going to leave without it. And let it go. Because God just letting you use it temporarily anyway. Because then when you leave, you're going to have to leave it, right? And you can't take nothing with you. But just don't get so hung up on it. You know, it's a shame that we'll work ourselves to death to keep something that don't belong to us. You ever thought about that? Some of us work 7 to 8 hours a week just to keep it. You know, I just can't get that car repossessed. I got a friend the other day. He called me. He said, man, I got my car took. I said, so what? Go get another. So? Why are you going to sit here and cry about it? For? Why are you going to sit here and moan about it? It's gone. Let it go. But this time, you go get one that's going to be paid for. So why did you get that one taken away from me? Because you couldn't pay for it. And wouldn't it make sense to go get you one that'll crank for 6 months? Seriously. Right? But most of us, we get one taken what we want. We want an equal value. I won't ride around nothing like that. I will be caught. What do you think my neighbor's going to think about me? I had a friend who lost his car, and this is true. And they had a nice home out there in the trust for the gated community. And he lived so far out. Think about this, y'all. He lived so far out that the buses wouldn't come out there. His wife had to bring him from where he lived to Center Point to catch the bus to go to work. So he finally found a car that he could afford. He took it home to show it to her. You know what she told him? You want to put it in this driveway. But still, she was fussing about having to get up early and take him to Center Point. Ain't that something? But see, that all goes back. See, from the beginning, the way God instituted it, when you violate his principles, you have other problems that are going to come too. But the whole point that I'm saying is, let's learn what Jesus is saying here in John 12, 7, 8. Do what you can do. Jesus said, let her alone. See, she done the best that she could. See, for the poor always you have with me, but ye have not always. See, you ain't going to have me always. In such a way of saying, hey, you ain't going to be here all the time. We're going to leave here, folks. Am I right? So we got to get it right today. We got to understand right today. You got to understand, see, she did what she could today. Because, see, Jesus wasn't going to be there forever. Because he came to seek and save that which was lost. See, sometimes we play around with Christianity. We do what we want to do. And then we say, well, I got time to get it right. I ain't going to die today. You don't know that. You don't know what death is. I don't know what death is. Amen. See, you're thinking you got to be an old man to die. That's not true. An old woman to die. That's not true. See? In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to be with you always. So she did what she could do. And that's the same thing that we can apply to life in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Now, y'all got that? See, I hope so. I hope you understand that. See? In relationship to understand what is the will of the Lord. Okay, verse 9. He says in verse 9, he says the common people, much people of the Jews, some say, therefore the Jews learned that Jesus was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now, you're going to have two classes of people there. One he called just common, who believe. On the other hand, you're going to have those of opposition. Opposition to Jesus for what Jesus was done based on raising Lazarus from the dead that caused other people to believe. Underline that word. I don't know what translation you're using. But the New King James Version says much people. Another translation used the phrase the common people. And by that I denoted Acts 2:44. The reason why I denoted Acts 2:44, because when you go back to Acts, go over right quick, I want to show you a point, analogy that he's using now in relationship to those people who believe. See, to those people who believed versus to those who did not believe, because there's a difference, okay? In the book of Acts chapter 2, all right? And we're going to start reading in verse 42. Okay? And I want to show the attitude or the spirit that they possessed that caused them to be believers. Because let me tell you something. To be a believer, to be have all things in common, to be one, to be like-minded, guess what, folks? You got to have the proper spirit. Romans 8:16, we ask of God and join out with Jesus Christ that we may be called what? Children of God. See, our spirit got to match up with God's spirit in order to have the commonality. Amen? That we all speak the same thing. See, and be of the same mindset, that we may abase, that we may abound. Y'all understand what he's saying there? See, that you got to decrease in the flesh in order to increase in the spirit. Y'all got that mindset? See, to have that poor in spirit. See, they ain't got nothing to do with money. It's mindset. That's all it is. Don't let the world fool you. Because you got rich people commit suicide. That's unhappy. Am I right? They can't keep no husband. They can't keep no wife. Make no dim how pretty they is. Don't make no dim how fine they is. And make no dim who their mom and daddy is. Amen? See, it's mindset. So commonality are the common people. You see an analogy, you see a spirit. It's something about these individuals. It's something about being a Christian. See, it's something about what that woman did for Jesus. See, it's just something about letting your light shine, being the salt of the earth. See, it's just a special person. That we possess, amen. See, in order to do the Lord's will. Y'all with me? See, that's the reason why you're gonna see the difference. That's the same thing in our life. See, you can tell when you're validated. You know how you validate it, when truth is in your life, when people start talking about you. I'm serious. If they don't say nothing about you, you just like them. Because they don't see nothing different in you. But when you stand on truth, and when you don't do what they do, when you just like the average Joe, see, When you do exactly go places they do, associate who they associate with, friends who they friend with, you just like them. But when you take a stance, when you speak out on truth, see, when they want you to hold hands in a business meeting, you say, uh-huh. And they look down at you, and they always do it to me. They always do it to me. They be whispering. See, I'm in a group, they love to pray. And the crazy thing about it, I told him. I said, please do not, this is a business setting. Don't bring the Bible in. It ain't got nothing to do with it. See, I don't have anything, don't do it. He's okay. So 30 minutes later, will you bow? And then he want me to go along with them? I'm not going to do it. See, when you learn better, you what? See, that's the point. See, people know when you got that common spirit. But it's that proper spirit that you got to have. But here you go again. You ain't going to get it unless you go through that process. It's a process you got to go through. I'm telling you, folks, you'll never have a happy marriage. You'll never be a happy wife. You'll never be a happy husband. You won't have a happy family. I'm telling you. Now, you'll have something that's similar. See, it look like it, right? It has a resemblance, but ain't the real thing. See, it's just like buying grease. Now, Crisco costs a little bit more money, don't it? Huh? I'm serious. Now, you can go get some cheap brand, and they both say grease, and they both, when you get home, gonna pour like grease. Now, am I right? Buddy, when you fry some chicken, on that cheap grease, when the flour won't stick and you ain't got nothing but meat there, ain't no crisp on there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, because it ain't the real thing. See, I didn't know this here. A friend of mine worked at the bakery down there in Tuscaloosa, And they bake bread for four or five different companies. They just don't break for, you know, bake bread for a Wholesome. They make baked bread for five or six different companies. He says, yeah, man. He said, when we make Wholesome bread, we may put 10 bags of sugar in it. But when we make Food Word bread, we won't put but one bag. It's just different. They got different ingredients that they make it with. That's the reason why when you get ready to make a sandwich, and it fall apart. It ain't never happened to you? You spread the mayonnaise on it, pick it up, and the whole thing just crumble? Because it costs less, it's cheap. See, y'all wasn't thinking about y'all. I don't know where y'all be. I don't know where y'all live. I don't know where. Then you get some good old Wholesome bread. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They got them 20 bags of sugar. Now, it costs $2 a summer, bro. I mean, a thing. But I'm telling you, when you put that bologna on there and pick it up and bite it, it's going to stay together. Better run that cheap bread, the sauce will be all in your lap. Ain't never happened to y'all. Huh, I'm serious. It's a difference. It's a difference. What you put in is what you're going to get. What you sow is what you're going to reap. See? I'm serious. It's just life. Well, it's the same thing here. See, the proper spirit, we're going to see here that those who had things in common, those who believed in what Jesus did, came for the right reason. See, they believed on Jesus. Because the next verse says, well, what we need to do then to stop this here is just go and kill Lazarus too. See, it ain't just Jesus now. We got another problem. Called Lazarus. Because see, if what Jesus did to Lazarus, and they've been talking, you know Lazarus was in that ground 4 days. They were getting ready to bring the body to the church. And they had buried the body. Funeral was over with. Buried the body. He stayed in the ground 4 days. Ain't that something? You know folks were talking. But look at Acts 2:42. See, I want you to see. See, that's the point that we need to understand here. Acts chapter 2. See, I want you to see. Man, y'all better come on. Y'all, like, see, let me tell y'all something. Y'all sit up here and I tell y'all this stuff. You know, y'all look, hey, dude. I didn't know that. Ooh, I learned something tonight. I don't know why y'all act that way. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. When you learn better, what? Ain't that the point? See? I don't know why Christians just don't want. He just need to go and teach this class. Cut all this out. This is what makes us better, amen? When we can make it practicality, amen? See, same principle. What you sow is what you reap. What you put in is what you get, amen? See, and it takes that proper spirit there in relationship. I know some of you are saying, well, I just bought 2 loaves of Food Word bread. I ain't throwing that away. I ain't listening to him. Talking about throw my bread away, and I just went today and bought me 2 loaves. Acts 2. Let me tell y'all something. I have studied the Bible all my life, some form of it. But you ever study and ain't got nothing from it? See, you ain't seen nothing but red writing. You know what that means. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But see, when you see these scriptures, if you don't get but one or two and learn something from them, that make us better. Ain't that something worth coming? See, so it can help us, amen. So it can help us. That's what we try to do, try to make it helpful by using biblical principles. Okay, Acts 2:42. See what happened here. See, look at what happened here. It said, and they, that God, verse 41. See, they, that's me and you, right? We gladly receive his word, right? So you got to be happy you're here, amen. You got to want it, right? But brother, we're glad to receive the word. We're right over there. Where you're right over here. I think it's 2 Peter 2. Let me find it. I want to tell you right. Where a newborn babe desires sensitive milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's found. I want you to write that better, okay? That's 2 Peter. That's 1 Peter. That's 2 Peter. 2. All right. a minute. First Peter. Okay, that's 1 Peter chapter 2. Okay, 1 Peter 2, 2. Just write that, 1 Peter 2, 2. 1 Peter 2, 2. By the word, see, and all that believe, and verse 41. And then they that glad. See, you got to be glad. You got that desire. You got the hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. You got to want to be here. Amen. It's nothing no more important, you know, than this day. See, we got that example on 1 Peter 11, right? When the whole church come together in one place, see, you got to know that we're all going to be here, right? Lord, they mourn if it be the Lord, we're right. In one place, what time? 9 o'clock, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be doing our books, amen? See, what about in one place, amen? We're all going to be like-minded, am I right? That's that mind spirit, right? Because you desire, okay, to do that, okay? His word, we're baptized. And the same day, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. See, and they, that's me and you again, right? Continue, right there with John 8, 31, 32. John 8, 31, 32. Continue my word, indeed you shall be my disciple. You shall know the truth, and truth shall make you what? Free. But to be made free, you got to do what? Continue. Steadfast, right, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. 1 John 1, 5. See, they have fellowship. Well, God, we got to fellowship one with another and bringing the bread and the prayer. See, we do that, see, every first day of the week when the whole church comes together. But see, in order for you to do it, you got to gladly receive what? See, that's the proper spirit, right? See, a lot of times we can't have proper spirit because our mindset's somewhere else. See, it's like Terry taught in our class the other day. See, our mindset, well, he preached too long. They last too long. Hurry up. This thing getting longer and longer. You understand what I'm saying? See, that's the wrong mindset. See, you don't desire. See, you don't desire. See, you don't desire. See, you don't desire. See, your mind's not that. The sense of milk. See what he said? And then they're glad to receive this word. That's a proper spirit. You got to continue. That's another proper spirit. You got to be steadfast, a proper spirit. Look at verse 3. He said, if I was you, I'd be marking that. Continue. Gladly. See, steadfast. Doctrine. See, I'll be underlining that. But see, because see, you are never abased in all the bound if you don't have that proper spirit. I don't care who come to you. If you can have 10 TVs, you ain't going to give them up. Because you got that mean mentality. It's mine. Am I right? You selfish. And you're not going to do it. See, you a lie. You got a pocket full of money. Somebody come to you, I ain't getting that Negro nothing. Because that's your mindset. I'm just telling you. That's what the devil would transform you to think. Man, you know I ain't got no money. And you got money. Am I right? And we all have done it. Shake your head. We have. Because that's a mindset. You know why? Because the word is not received right. You don't continue. Because when the word ain't received right, you ain't going to continue. If you ain't continue, how you going to be steadfast? You ain't going to do it. Because you're not receiving the word. See, be not conformed, but be transformed. Folks, let me tell you something. See, that's what I'm telling you. Go back and read 1 Corinthians 11. Read 1 Corinthians 14. That's what it says. That's your mindset. When the whole church come together, we come together for one reason. What? We come together at 9 o'clock, but we really need to be at 9:30. Why? Because we got something to do. Am I right? In order to be steadfast. That's that mindset, amen? And ain't going to let nothing stop me. Amen? Are you going to kill yourself, do something, disobey God for something you ain't going to keep anyway? Am I right? Something happened to you, somebody moved in. He sure left you a nice TV. Bought your car. Bought that car he sure bought you was nice. I ain't going to tell you who he talking about neither. Boy, man, it's a nice house he left you. Can't go in his room. I'm telling you, that's the way the devil work, amen? And here you don't work yourself to death. Dead in the grave, and ain't nobody going to raise you for something that didn't even matter. See? And now you just can enjoy it. So, see, y'all look what he said. See, because, see, you don't do that, verse 4 or 3 ain't going to work. See, that's the reason why he said some of the people had things in common. He said, then fear. Know that word fear means respect. So you're going to respect came upon every soul. Well, my Holy Spirit said every soul. They say some, did it? See? And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Then verse 4, and all that believed were together. What? And then they had that commonality. See, they had all things coming, right? See, we all got all things coming, right? We're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We're heirs of God, we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Am I right? See, that's the reason why. That's the reason why the devil knew. He said, we got to stop this here. Because this thing is getting dangerous. What Jesus is doing, you got folks believing left and right. And guess what? They'll say the same thing about you. They'll say the same thing about me. They'll say the same thing if I fall. See, one thing about truth. Truth ain't going to let you fall. People can leave. Because see, when you leave and you don't leave right, ain't nothing good going to happen. Amen? Because I say all the time, hey, you can't leave because of doctrinal. Right? You can't leave because of doctrine. Because how you going to leave? And we be doctrinate and go somewhere else, they right, without correcting us. Right? Am I right? You can't do it. So if you leave because of doctrine, and we right, well, you're getting deep in the hole. Instead of coming, and let's reason together and straighten it out, amen. Now, you can leave because maybe you moved out of town. You can leave because it's just too far. Or you can leave because some other reason, logistical. And since sometimes that don't work because we still go where we want to go. Amen. Right? But you just got to do it the right way and the right spirit. And that's the reason why the Holy Spirit used that phrase. See, those who have things in common because they gladly received the word, they were steadfast, they continued, fear came upon them, they all believed, then what happened? Then you're going to have things in common. See, when you can do that, then, brother, see, you can submit. See, but you can't submit no other way. See, on that marriage seminar, I said submissiveness. See, submissiveness ain't going to work if the seed being blocked. But who are you going to submit to? You with me? And then submissiveness, see, submissiveness ain't going to work when this half have the proper spirit and this half don't. We all got to be of the same frame of mind. And that's the reason why discipline is important. See, and like I told the brother, you know one problem we have? We let things go too far. See, we allow people to do things too long before we do anything about it. See, the minute we walk this oil, the discipline needs to be taking place. It makes no difference how small, how big. Same thing you tell your children. Say, I'm going to whoop you next year. I'm going to whoop you when you get home. I was at Walmart one time, and I'll never forget it. Andrew, I kept telling him, be still. Line was long, and he wouldn't be still. All of a sudden, I knocked him out. And they looked at me and said, ooh, I said, take him home. See? And that's the same thing. See, discipline is supposed to correct. Am I right? You're going to correct with discipline. If your spirit right, you're going to receive discipline the right way. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Am I right? If you come to me, I'm wrong. See, and I know I'm wrong. The only thing I need to do is repent, right? Don't need to fuss about repentance because you're wrong. Am I right? See, so don't need to argue about it. You're wrong. Am I right? See, that's conflict. Then we talked about that too. You remember? Conflict is antagonistic odds. See, but both can't be right. That means why you got the word, right? See, the word gonna give the final answer, right? So if you have conflict in your life, and you go by the word says, this is the answer right here, who are you gonna believe? right? That's in our book, right? See? So that when you fuss this week, or when you argue this week, or when you disagree, well, you ain't going to go to the book. Let the Bible answer. Am I right? Am I right? Oh, no. I think I go with Jerry Springer. You're sorry. Y'all with me? Man, time gone. Woo. Y'all with me? Like, don't eat your bread. Don't throw it away. Don't throw your bread away. That's poor stewardship. I'm telling you, don't do that. You can mess up a few more sandwiches. Don't throw them away. But tip, put it in the microwave. Heat it up a little bit. It'll keep it from deteriorating so fast. But don't listen to me. Don't throw your bread away. But next time, think about what I'm saying when you're looking. Oh, it may be that's the best you can do. Amen. If that's the best you can do, that's all right.